Two readings this morning from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 25, verses 31 to 40. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand, and the goats at his left. Then the king will say to those at his right hand, "Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me." And then the righteous will answer him, "Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? When was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?" And the king will answer them, "Truly I tell you, as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me." And Matthew 18, verse 20, "For where two or three are gathered in my name, I am there among them."
You know, one of the challenges of being the pastor of this church is we've got so many talented staff people, I should probably just shut up and sit down because that's the sermon. So thank you, Owen. You gave me some goose flesh, and that's always a sign that sacredness is happening. Would you pray with me a moment? God, help us simply to see what is our little world and how it is that we can look past it so that we aren't isolated. Give us the courage, give us the insight, give us the perseverance to follow the way of Jesus. For it is his Spirit that draws us together and energizes us and gives us the life that we need to be the hands and the feet and the heart and the mind of Jesus today. May it be so by the power of the Holy Spirit and the people were heard to say, Amen. So this is a sermon series. It's going to be a long series, which I think is good because it's lots of pieces to looking at outside my own little world. So the primary resource is Worship Design Studio, and we've used this in the past. It's Dr. Marcia McPhee is the ordained United Church of Christ minister who puts this stuff together, and as you can see from the picture which is on the front page of her website, she is an artist and has helped us open up to the power of visual images and how they can reinforce the message, hence the banners on the back wall, which don't you think they're great? Well, from that weak response, maybe you don't, but when I was meeting with the worship committee last spring and we were trying to decide what we might do by way of worship themes for 2018 and 2019, we were all touched by and influenced by sort of the culture in which we have been swimming in the last several years, which seems to be fairly divisive and mean-spirited, I can say from my own situation that my family is divided over some of these issues, and oftentimes we just think it's all about which political party we are connected with, and the challenge is that that's not all there is. There are issues that are much huger than just political issues. But here's kind of where we find ourselves, and maybe it's not quite this vitriolic or intense, but my guess is if you've been with family members who disagree with you about some of these fundamental values, it could be this heated. Or you decide not to talk about it at all because why risk the relationship? Are you with me in this challenge? So, it's more than just a question of politics. It's a clash in values. And I just was just kind of brainstorming and threw up some values, and there they are. And there are probably a ton more of them. And the heart and soul of this particular series is summarized by Marcia McPhee. Let's read this together. We live in a world that seems to teeter between those who seek to protect their own and those who dare to declare that all are worthy of compassion. Now, that might be an oversimplification, but for the sake of our worship series, I think it's worth pondering that question. And what does our faith have to say about caring for others or just caring for self? Well, truly, I tell you, whenever you did it, clothing, food, shelter, attention, care, welcome, you did it to the least of these who are members of my family. You did it to me. And then, of course, Philippians, Paul says, do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility regard others as better than yourselves. Now, there's a caveat to that. You have to care for yourself, and you have to have some self-esteem, or you'll treat people just the way you treat yourself, right? So there has to be a certain amount of love and health and healing for you to be able to give. So this isn't feel bad about all the privileges you have. It's simply stop and see how it is that you see the world and what are the privileges that you may or may not have, and how about the rest of the world? Where are they? This is a really fascinating chart that I found. It lists the priorities of cultural values from the United States, Japan, and Arab countries. Now, just take a minute and look at that. There are some things that really stand out for me. One of them is in this line 6. Competition, cooperation, or compromise. And here's the irony. When I think about the text that Nancy just read from Matthew, it almost feels like Japan has more of a Christian identity or value system, but they're Buddhist or Shinto. This is one step to get outside of our own little world in terms of how is it that other people choose to be related to one another culturally. The other thing that I found interesting, and probably what's so difficult about trying to create a peace process between Arabs and Israelis or between any Western kind of country and one that is Muslim or Eastern oriented, is that notice that these are the top four are things that don't even show up on our list. The other thing that's fascinating is that we are really kind of addicted to youthfulness. And so what's interesting here, age and seniority are fourth in these two countries. Doesn't even show up over here. Other thing that's fascinating is directness versus indirectness. And this is one of my biggest challenges when I bump into especially Muslim women who are complete jihad. And I And I kind of want to acknowledge their humanness, but if indirectness is a value, I'm actually not being kind to them if I'm trying to connect. Isn't that fascinating? Because that's one of the values I think of myself, is that I'm reaching out and trying to connect to other people. But if what you're looking for is indirectness, maybe it isn't going to be that helpful. Now, this one's really complicated, and I thought about not putting it up there, but it works too well. So just bear with me on this one. This is a Professor Schwartz, who is a social psychologist, put this together. And the thing that I find fascinating about it is, first of all, look outside the circle. So openness to change or conservation, self-enhancement or self-transcendence. And there are 9 pieces of this pie. And I think the reason that we get into heated debates with other people is that it's a clashing of values, a clashing of what we consider to be the most important things and what we consider to be the source of the vision that we have of how the world should be. So if you look at this quadrant here, universalism, social justice, equality, benevolence, helpfulness, this is Jesus stuff. Down here, it's achievement, success, ambition, power, authority, wealth, hedonism. Well, we all enjoy pleasure, so don't freak out about that. But what I find fascinating about this is that if this is important to you, then the pie would probably, those pieces would be bigger, and some of these would shrink. And if these things were important to you, it would work the other way. Those other things would take up more space. So I simply put this up here because the study that this professor did was across cultures and across countries. So these are values that he argues are found in every single culture. I would argue that he was doing the study from the perspective of a privileged white male, so it might shift if you were making this from a different perspective. But I think it's really helpful because if you're someone who really is in social order or security or tradition or conformity, if those are all important to you, change would drive you nuts. And the same is true. If you don't value this kind of stuff, then those who like conformity or like to have structure and tradition, it's going to drive you nuts. My guess is we all live in this pie, don't we? So I put it up there just so you can kind of, for a minute, think, well, where on that pie do I sit, and which one of those things would take up a bigger chunk? And I think that's also why, at least from my perspective, as I experience the culture of the United States, there are some terrific things about it because we are very efficient, we get a lot done, we have an incredibly high standard of living, but it makes it harder to fit into this quadrant because this is what gets most of our sort of cultural kudos, I think. So I traveled to Lincoln City for a gathering of colleagues that I've worked with the Enneagram with and did a quick overnight retreat. And as I was traveling over, I was listening to a story on the radio. And it was a fascinating story, and my ears went like this because the whole point of the story was to try to create a strategy whereby we don't stay in our own little bubble and talk to the people who have all the same values and all the same perspectives, because what we do is we reinforce that, and then it makes it harder and harder to see or understand or appreciate or empathize with somebody who's different. And my guess is there may be one or two people who know who this person is by face. You can shout out the name if you know it. She's the editor-in-chief of The Economist magazine, which was the big... So I had... Talk about getting outside of my own little bubble. I just assumed when they said editor-in-chief of The Economist, it would be a guy. Right. So how about busting out of that bubble? Second thing is, for whatever reason, I have used The Economist when I was in school and for papers, I read it occasionally, and I never knew it was a British publication. Okay, there's another mind blower outside my own little bubble. And here's the other thing that really blew me away, because she was being interviewed and asked, you are going to be doing these open forums to try to create a new ideology and approach to making the world a better place, a more compassionate place, a place where everybody benefits more. And you've invited, that's the open forum. There's one in New York, which happened yesterday. There's one in Japan. There's another one somewhere else, which I forget. But Steve Bannon was going to be on the panel. And she was getting a tremendous amount of criticism for even giving someone who has called The Economist the enemy, giving them the opportunity to speak. But what I really liked about this interview on the radio is that she said, unless we are willing to engage with people with views and perspectives and beliefs and values different from we, it will be very difficult to move forward as a world community. So I really, really, I thought, this is getting outside of your own little bubble. This is living outside your own little world. Now, I listened to the interview, which was 35 minutes, and I was reminded again of the importance of compassionate communication. Compassionate communication assumes that you are trying to have a heart-to-heart connection with another person. And if the communication style that a person adopts is essentially defensive and winning the position, there's no hope of connection. So in this outside our own little world, I think we always have to be asking ourselves and pushing ourselves to listen and to be aware and to be awake and, like peace builders, show respect even when you're being disrespected. But I think part of the challenge is that we're so busy talking about our own perspective and why it's right that we're going like this instead of like that. And so I noticed as I reflected on the interview that there were clashes in values, clashes in communication styles, and probably most important, clashes in worldview. What kind of a world do we want? And how are we going to get there? This is something that we all have to kind of continue to work. I mean, I'd love to just stick my head in the sand and think somebody else work this out. That ain't going to happen. And as the church, we have to have a voice about this because these are about values and what makes us a community and how it is that if we really take Jesus' teaching from Matthew's gospel seriously, there is value in every human being across the board, even for me, Steve Bannon, who is somebody I don't like very well. And yet, I have to take the time to try to hear beyond the words to what is it that he's trying to say. That's my call as a Christian. So there's an essential ingredient to this, being outside our own little world, and it's about grace. And I've got a clip that I'm going to conclude my sermon with, and it helps us to see the challenge of how it is that sometimes we can't we're really preoccupied with what we need, and it's hard for us to see past it. And so there's a video clip that came from Sermon Spice called Get Service. And Mo said that she's going to need a little bit of time to get from one thing to the other, so I had to come up with a couple of little gems before she could get the video running. So how are we doing, Mo? I'm going to just keep saying One of the reasons the board is up here for Bethel's vision board, during the course of this series, there'll be opportunities in worship to come up and actually put up there the piece of the vision that you believe Bethel, what should Bethel's vision be for the world? How is it that Bethel's vision should serve this outside my own little world, and making the world a better place, and attuning to the least of these, my sisters and brothers? So there'll be opportunity during the sermon series. Let that perk in your hearts and souls. Next week we'll talk about how it is that we see, who it is that we see, and where we're blind. The people were heard to say, Amen.